The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Round Table. We are trying to change the world order is how Lalit Modi, the brains behind the BCCI-backed Indian Premier League, views its impact on world cricket. The excitement of 2020 cricket, club-style cricket, a Champions League-style tournament and a $5 million prize money. The IPL seems well on the road to being a surefire success. But is it really so? Or is it all a case of hype with no substance? Is the IPL a well-thought-out structured concept or something that was conceived in haste as a knee-jerk reaction to the rebel Indian Cricket League? Well, to analyze all this and discuss the new talking point in world cricket, the IPL, I've got with me Ian Chappell and David Lloyd. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Well, first of all, I just want your initial thoughts on this concept, IPL, the BCCI-backed IPL, starting with you, Ian.
The first thing that struck me was that I couldn't believe the ICC didn't do a deal with IPL to get some funds to filter off into countries like Pakistan, Sri Lanka, who have got, obviously they've got problems, political problems there, and then you've got New Zealand and the West Indies who've got financial problems, and I would have thought that there should be something done to recompense these countries for their players that they've, or their system has developed, and now they're going to be signing for big money with the franchises in IPL. I just can't believe that some sort of deal wasn't done.
First thoughts were, this is exciting, this is different, and I think that we're always moving forward, but then there's a lot of ifs and a lot of buts, and I just wonder whether it's all been thought through properly. New Zealand at the minute, and I can tell you that New Zealand is absolutely rocking with the news that it's going to lose so many players and so many experienced players, and I don't think New Zealand is a country that can lose all that expertise and experience. I think there's a lot of questions that have to be asked. One, I think it's exciting. I like the element of it. I like the 2020 format, and it's over and done with in a short space of time, but it seems at this stage that it's going to be very, very disruptive to the rest of cricket.
Ian, you've brought up a point that nobody has brought up before, where you thought the other members from the ICC could have benefited from the Indian cricket economy. But do you think there is a tendency here that India is trying to show the world what it can do with the product, with cricket, and we're never ever going to work with ICC or share the glory with ICC on such matters?
I'm not really sure what they're trying to prove, but I mean, they don't have to prove that they are the economic powerhouse of cricket. Everybody knows that. But it's not much good if you've only got a handful of countries to play against. I mean, Australia and England financially are okay. India obviously is very well off, but the rest of the major nations are in serious strife financially. So, that's why I think if you're going to benefit, if you're going to have this thing, then it should be benefiting all cricket. I mean, originally I thought it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. And talking to a few people, it was obviously on the drawing board for quite some time. But to me, it would have been the perfect time for cricket to sit down and work out where it's going in the future and how the three types of the game that are played at international level are going to go forward, and they're going to work together. It seems to me that in that regard, no planning has been done at all. It's just, right, oh, here's another competition. This is exciting. It's bringing a lot of publicity to cricket, a lot of money into parts of the game. But no thought to where it all goes in the future. And I mean, the way it's placed at the moment, I just think that something in the game of cricket is going to have to give, because you can't just have star players playing, this amount of cricket without having some plan for the future.
Governing body has to be seen to be governing, and you cannot have one member state just going off at a complete tangent, because it disrupts everything else. It may be its early days, and we may find out the whys and wherefores of the IPL and where it fits into the global scheme of things, but it will isolate vulnerable countries, and Ian has spotlighted vulnerable countries, the West Indies and New Zealand. All of us in cricket are watching this space. What are you going to do in India to compensate for the rest of the game and to legislate for the rest of the game to ensure that it's ongoing.
When ICL came into being, it just got everybody active, and I think this concept was in the mind of Lalit Modi for a long time, but the ICL actually got it on, got it rolling. Do you think the BCCI is just excited with the times in India? You know, the economy is strong, and perhaps when you think of it, this concept could have best worked in an Indian economy, which is a growing economy, and they haven't given too much thought to what would happen. And, you know, ICC also felt like there was nothing much they could do, you know, because they couldn't stop BCCI from having a tournament in their own country, and felt that there was only so much that they could control with the intent of BCCI.
Perhaps the best thing that could happen out of all of this, and that includes the ICL as well as IPL, perhaps the best thing that could happen is if it got to the point where the ICC was deemed to be useless, which I think they... Basically, I think they have been for quite some time, probably going back as far as when I was playing, that they come up and devise a new way of running cricket, because, as David Lloyd said, it's got to be governed globally if the thing's going to succeed. Now, I mean, Indian cricket, if all they're worried about is India, and then it's, that's going to be fine. But you've got to have teams, you've got to have decent teams to play against. And if we're looking to go forward and strengthen the game, then it's got to be governed, to me, it's got to be governed globally. I mean, there's obviously some very, having read through ICL, there's some very good ideas from ICL. Alan Stanford in the West Indies, in the Caribbean, has got some good ideas there. I would have thought it's the perfect time to get, you know, the International Players Association, the ICC, IPL, ICL, Stanford, all of those people, and if you can think of any others that have got ideas and have got money that they're looking to put into the game of cricket, get them all together, sitting down and working out where this whole damn thing's going to go in the future.
I think that would have been just perfect, but perhaps too many individuals there wanting glories, perhaps, and maybe, you know, that's why we don't see that happening. Now, let's just come down to the concept and the IPL. Now, it is based on regional lines, but, of course, players can play for another state. Now, I have, of course, followed Indian cricket very closely, and I've seen the falling for cricket in India pretty strange. You know, sometimes I challenge this concept, you know, challenge this statement that people make that cricket is religion in India. I would add that international cricket, and when India is playing another country, well, that is religion in India, because apart from that, when you look at domestic cricket or club cricket, there's no following at all. You'll have a Ranji Trophy final, Bombay, Delhi, and you'll have 500 people watching at Wankhede Stadium. Do you think, you know, just because it's IPL, it's going to change the fans' approach to these matches?
I mean, it's just, it's so new, Sanjay, that we don't really know where it's going. And
correct.
I would say from a distance that it seems to be a money-making operation. I would urge and implore everybody concerned to get stringent plans in place, like an anti-corruption unit for a start, because I think it's tailor-made for corruption, the whole lot of it. And so I think that needs to be put in place. Anti-doping needs to be put in place. Number one, I like the excitement of it, but there's a danger that it's just going to be a resting place for old players. You know, old players are going to get paid a lot of money, and good luck to them. I've no problem with that whatsoever. It's a supply and demand. But we've got to tread very, very carefully, and we will keep going over old ground. When you talk to Chappell and you talk to myself, you're talking to older players who've seen the game evolve, and the game must continue to evolve, and we cannot, the game will not survive if there are branches going off at a tangent and say, well, we're doing our own thing. So I hope the BCCI have got all these plans in place for minimal disruption of everywhere else. And the other thing about your comment of nobody watching cricket, that's worldwide. Nobody watches cricket in England at domestic level. I don't think, and Ian will correct me if I'm wrong, but nobody watches domestic level cricket in Australia. But everybody watches international cricket. And if we're going to be devoid of international cricketers, the public will tell you.
Well, Ian, a prize pool of $5 million has been announced for the IPL, with the winner getting $2 million. Now, that is twice what Australia earned for their, you know, defense of the 2007 World Cup. Again, a glaring difference, you know, in what ICC does and what BCCI is doing. Do you see this, you know, further dividing the world group of administrators?
Well, I think the biggest danger, and I'm in general, I'm much more interested in the players than I am the administrators. I think the biggest problem is that it's going to head down the path that David was just talking about. That, you know, if the players see that they can get that sort of prize money for playing, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of 2020 cricket in India, particularly the older one, then they're going to be thinking, oh, well, you know, I've had a pretty good time of it in international cricket. I'll just head off and do this and play IPL because, you know, there's this great discrepancy in the prize money. So I think that's where it's more likely to have an effect. There could be a good side to some of this as well as a downside. I mean, the culling process, England has probably had this problem for quite some time because they've had professional cricket for a hell of a lot longer than certainly Australia has. But we're finding in Australia now that we're going down the path of England in that you're getting a lot of senior players who are hanging around. They can keep getting a contract. We're looking at debutants in the Australian team now, 28, 29, 30 years of age. But we're not getting the young players being brought into the Australian side, nor the Australian first class side. So the selectors aren't performing that culling process. Maybe this will. Now, that's okay for a country like Australia where, you know, we've got pretty reasonable depth in cricket. But David's just talked about New Zealand, and I mean, they've got the depth of an above-ground swimming pool in cricket talent there. They just can't afford to be losing those sort of people. So I see this discrepancy in prize money being a greater problem for players thinking rather than administrators thinking.
Ishan Sharma, Rohit Sharma, you know, two young Indian talents, or just about 20 years old, they have been auctioned for huge sums of money. Now, what do we do with these players, you know, I mean, when they start seeing this kind of money at this tender age, David?
Well, you'd think they would be managed properly and they've got good families and they're sensible about things. I have no problem with players earning money and good luck to them, and I'm quite envious about it. My only concern, and it will be the concern of many, many people, is that the IPL should fit into the rest of cricket and not disrupt it. We're going to keep talking and coming back to the main thing. It's very new, it's very exciting and good on the players, but it has to fit in with what the governing body and what Ian says. It may be that we need a different style of governing body to ensure that the game of cricket goes forward, and IPL can be very much a part of it, but we need to know that. We need assurances from BCCI that this is what they're thinking of, that it's part of the global scheme of things. I'm not too bothered about players and young lads, and good luck to them. And there's strong rumours coming out of England at the minute, Sanjay, that one of the England players has already signed, and the big kingpin, the massive one, has turned down an enormous amount of money playing the IPL. You know, I'm talking about Andrew Flintoff. Think about any money that's been given to any of the others, and you can five times it.
Just to add a point,
yes,
there,
sure.
I've spoken to Ravi Shastri, who obviously has got some inside knowledge on these things, and he says that the academy, just getting back to your point about this large money coming to younger players and how they handle it, he says that the academy in India will be working on advising these young blokes not just how to cope with the money, but also how to best invest the money, those sort of things. And I think that's a really important thing, that it must be done. Otherwise, some of these young blokes are just going to go off on the wrong track.
And soccer in the UK, I mean, they're earning fortunes, absolute fortunes, and they're well taken care of by their professional association. And 99% of them are looked after brilliantly. There's always 1% that's a bit silly and they do some daft things. But I think they've got a great gearing for younger players with vast amounts of money, and that's from soccer in the UK. So they can take a leaf out of that book and through the Players Association.
Well, one of the things, Ian, we saw in the auction is the curious price tags that were put on players. You know, people like Cameron White and David Hussey getting huge sums of money, and Shane Warne and Ricky Ponting not going for as much. Ishan Sharma getting paid much, much more than a Chaminda Vaas and all. What does that tell you?
Well, I guess it's to do with market forces. That's one thing. But I'd be interested to find out if the franchise owners have had some pretty decent cricketing advice on these players, because if they haven't, I mean, anybody can look out on the cricket field and see, ah, this guy's got talent. But there are some other things that you need to know. I mean, if somebody asks me about a young cricketer, how do you think he'll go? I'd say, look, he's got the ability. I just need to know what's in his head and what's in his heart. Mm. And once I know those two things, then I can give you a reasonable answer on how I think he might go. If these franchise owners haven't got people who know about the game of cricket advising them on what's in the head and what's in the heart of some of these players, they're going to get burned financially, because they're going to pay a lot of money. And if you're paying a lot of money to somebody who is lazy or weak-minded, then you're going to get burned.
Yeah, this is something that I learned in that auction that happened in Bombay, is that, of course, every franchise had an upper limit as to how much they could spend to get players. And what happened in the early excitement, they got the big names and spent a lot of money. And then suddenly they realized that they weren't left with enough money, which meant, you know, some very good names were being announced and were not being, bought, because there wasn't enough money in the purse. And they sort of then started looking at their playing 11 and looking at the combination. And there was also a case that towards the end of the auction, some of the companies also suddenly found that they had still a lot of cash left. And that's again when, you know, the players that came up later, the names announced later, again started fetching huge sums of money. Another thing that I learned was that every franchise had a very good cricketer guiding them through the process. I know Rahul Dravid was there for Karnataka, guiding them through their selection of players and buying players. So that was something very interesting. Well, another thing that I want to bring about here is I want to ask Ian Chappell, you know, I mean, Kerry Packer made such a big impact on world cricket at the time it did. Do you see any parallels here with IPL?
I suppose the fact that it's, you know, going to bring more money to the players, there's that parallel. But outside of that,
commercial reasons for both initiatives?
Well, I think ICL probably had more in common with World Series cricket, because, you know, they both came about because you had a television magnate who was very annoyed at the treatment he was getting from a cricket board over television rights, and he decided to go off on his own path. I didn't see many other similarities between ICL and World Series cricket, but that was a major one, which I don't see with IPL.
I've got two final questions for you, gentlemen. I'm going to ask this of David Lloyd. You get the feeling when you hear certain murmurs coming from around the world, is there a general feeling of discontent amongst the cricketing members and, you know, the rest of the cricketing world? They're viewing the Indian board as somebody is trying to dictate affairs, stamping their authority on matters that are not even sometimes connected with BCCI. Do you see there is a general feeling there that, you know, BCCI is trying to be the boss here, and a boss that is quite happy to flex their muscles?
In a word, yeah, I think that's what people around the world, the people that I speak to, and particularly the England contingent, think. But I suppose that we're holding our breath. It's still very much in its infancy, and I'm sure with all these things that there's a lot more dialogue to come out. There's a lot more explanation as to where it sits. And we will keep coming back to where it sits globally. It can be very, very exciting. You know, I've got loads of questions to ask. Who's going to watch it? Is it just a commercial deal for India? Is it just going to be on Indian television? I noticed that in the UK, that the big player, Sky Sports, has not bid for it. And they don't get many things wrong. They're not having it. If you want to watch it in England, in UK, you'll have to search very, very hard to find it. Where is it going to be watched? If it's global, I'm afraid that it isn't.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the IPL because it's the big news now, but it's just about 59 days in a calendar. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to last. And, you know, maybe 5-10 years later, if it doesn't work, we'll look back at it, you know, say that there was this attempt made by the BCCI that didn't quite work. So maybe at the moment, you know, there is too much focus on the IPL, which is just about 59 days in a calendar year. Ian, you know, that old grievance that everybody has about players getting overworked, too much cricket, and, you know, demands on players' bodies and minds. Now, we've added 44 days of cricket in 59 days, and with the blessings of ICC. How do you view that?
Well, the players can't ever again put that forward. about being overworked, because certainly as far as the Australian players are concerned, every time when there was an opportunity to play county cricket, they grabbed it. You know, they haven't been backward at grabbing this IPL opportunity, so they can no longer use that as an excuse. To just go back to your previous question to David, I don't think for a moment that people think that the BCCI are trying. I think if you ask most Australians, particularly after this recent series, they'd say that they definitely run the ICC. They go, the ICC basically just do their bidding. And I think a lot of, certainly Australian people, would be a lot happier with the IPL format or the, you know, the idea of it if they didn't feel that it was being run by a body that that certainly on one occasion and maybe more has threatened to take the team home from Australia when they felt that things didn't go their way. The BCCI, having dreamed up this this format of IPL, I think it's very good, and as David said, it's very exciting. But I think if they'd wanted to be inclusive, then they could have done a hell of a lot of good for world cricket. Perception is very important in this matter. The fact that they threatened definitely once and maybe more to take their bat and ball and go home when things weren't going their way in the series between India and Australia, I think has damaged their credibility enormously. And I mean, with Australians now, after what's gone on this summer, I think if you ask the bulk of Australians, they'd say the ICC is a complete waste of time. It's run by the BCCI, and they don't have the BCCI up very high either as far as credibility is concerned.
Yes, it's a fact in today's world that anybody who has the money generally has authority, has power. Perhaps the world is just a little disgruntled in the way that the BCCI exercises its power. So perhaps that is where there is a slight grudge there from the rest of the cricket.
Absolutely no doubt about that. I think if the BCCI, as I said before, if they used this power wisely, I think they could do wonderful things for the game of cricket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could get it going in a very good direction and have it very strong globally. I certainly don't have that feeling that that the BCCI is using the power wisely and that they have at heart the best interest of the game of cricket.
Can I quickly add that BCCI, of course, will have a different face or a different approach with every different administration that comes into power. So perhaps I think a more accurate description of this BCCI would be the administration that is currently in power in the BCCI. Has this approach, who knows, you know, administrations change, and whether then BCCI also change their approach to the game and the way they flex their muscles. But let's ask David and Ian, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, do you see IPL as a firmly established cricket tournament that changed the face of world cricket, or do you see this as a huge gamble and more forces working against it than for it?
Well, I think it's going to go on, and I think it's going to get bigger than what it is now. I think that's what they're aiming for. And what I was trying to say was that my old dad used to say to me that just look in the mirror and just ask yourself, have I done the right thing? And that's what the BCCI must ask themselves. Have they done the right thing? Not for BCCI, but for the game of cricket. Have they done the right thing? Look in the mirror and come up with the right answer.
Well, I think what we may find down the track is that, and this is what I would like to see happen, that we have test matches being played just purely between the major nations now, because I'm not sure that it's viable with most of the other countries. And all the nations, all the cricket nations, being involved in a limited overs tournament, and I suspect that it may be a hybrid job. It may be a 30-over game, falling sort of in the middle between the 50-over game and the 20-over game. That's where I think we might finish up. I think perhaps, as I say, that's my wish rather than thinking that it will happen, but I just think that something's got to give, and that's where perhaps I'd like to see it finish.
Well, final thoughts that I have is, of course, Lalit Modi has some very interesting concepts, and this is another one that has caught the attention of the world. good luck to him. I just hope, you know, something good comes out of this for world cricket and not only Indian cricket. I think that is everyone's wish here. Thank you, David and Ian. Thanks so much for joining us on the Cricket Info Roundtable.
The Roundtable on Cricket Info Talk.